This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
You know, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Isn't it a wonderful thing when a person's steps are ordered by the Lord? Well, what does that really mean? For that matter, what does it mean to be good? What is good? Today we want to talk about God being good. God is so good. I hope that you'll stay tuned. We want to thank you for tuning in to watch Getting to Know Your Bible today. And we want you to know that we have a free Bible correspondence course that we'd like to give to you. All you have to do is just to call us or write to us. We'll get it to you as soon as possible. You can take it online. But that you might know more about the course, that you might know how to receive it, why don't we take just a small break?
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
No storm can hide that greatest peace will be me, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, my love combined.
I'm going to be reading today from the book of Psalms. We're in the process of studying out of the book of Psalms, some of the chapters in the book of Psalms, certain key passages in the Psalms. And so we have done several lessons already in this series, and today we're looking at the 100th Psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. The Lord is good. You know, there have been volumes that have been written about God's holiness, about God's power, about His love, about His mercy, about His grace. But the observation that I've made in the books that I see now and then is that we've not written nearly as much about the goodness of God. Maybe it's because we just take for granted that God is good. It just goes without saying that God is good. Let's think about the word good for just a moment. What do we mean when we use the word good? It can be used in a lot of different ways. For example, the word good means that it's suitable for a purpose. We might say that a Jeep is good for driving in mud or in rocks. That is, it's suitable for that. We might say that good means that it is beneficial. Hot lunches are good for school children. And so there, the word good means that something is beneficial. It also means that something is valid or genuine. We might say that that person's word is as good as gold. And by that we mean that their word is truthful. You can depend upon them. The word good also means that something is sound or healthy. We might say that this individual has good eyesight. We mean by that that they have healthy eyes and they're able to see clearly. Sometimes the word good is used to mean something is enjoyable or happy. There are those that talk about the good life. Sometimes the word good means to comply with a set of rules. We speak of those who have good manners. Good manners, that simply means that they comply with a certain decorum or a certain set of rules. And then sometimes the word good means that one is skilled. We might refer to some individual as being a good musician, a good singer. And then the word good also means that someone who is morally sound. We talk about a good person. In Acts chapter 11, and it is spoken of Barnabas and said he was a good man. I think Barnabas was a good man in the Bible sense of the word. His steps indeed were ordered by the Lord. And so good, the word good in and of itself, is used in a number of different ways. And the Bible declares that God is good. Go back to the 100th Psalm, verse 5. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Then turn a page or two in your book of Psalms to chapter 106 and verse number 1. And there again we learn that the Lord is good. So God is good, good in and of Himself. God is the standard of everything that is good. Arthur Pink had this to say about God's goodness. He is originally good. Good of Himself, of which nothing else is. You would ask me, well, Brother Lambert, what's the fountainhead of good? The source of everything that is good? The beginning of everything that is good? I would have to say that God is the standard, the beginning, the fountainhead of everything that is good. Listen to Psalms chapter 25 and verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. So God is good. God is good. Alan Killen said that all that He, that is God, plans, does, creates, commands, and approves is good. So everything that God does is good. Everything that God has ever made is good. Everything that God has ever commanded is good. Everything that God approves is good, because God is goodness personified. For example, all of God's works are good. You recall, if you've studied the book of Genesis, chapter 1, that He created the heavens and the earth and all things therein, and He declared that creation as being good. 6 times God said, it is good. His creation is good. And then He surveyed that creation. After He had finished in Genesis 1:31, He said it's very good. Not just good, but very good. And see, when God made everything and created this world, He created it, according to the book of Isaiah, to be inhabited. And He created it in such a fashion that we could sustain life here upon this earth. And God has a way of revealing Himself in the things that He has made. Listen to chapter 1 of the book of Romans, verses 20 and 21. For the invisible things of Him, the creation from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. For when they knew Him as God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, when we observe the creation God made, we can see God in all the things around us. We see God in the sunset. We see God in the sunrise. We see God in the flowing of the tide. We see God in the mountains. We see God all around us in His creation. And when we look at the heavens above, we see the handiwork of God. Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and His firmament shows His handiwork. God's works are good. The creation that He made is good. Not only that, God's gifts are good. And God expresses His love toward us in so many ways. And one of the ways that God expresses His love toward us is showering blessings upon us. Listen to James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift, what? Every good gift, and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, everything that we have comes from God. And there are good gifts that God bestows upon all people. There are certain blessings that God confers just to those who belong to Him, that is, His children. But there are certain blessings that are good blessings that God gives to all people, to the believer and to the unbeliever. For example, all of us share this benefit of God, and it's a good blessing of God, a good gift. That's the air that we breathe. And whether we are a believer or an unbeliever in God, that's a good gift God has given to us. You think about the body that we have and how God created this body for us to dwell in, to live in. And it's a good gift. You think about our families. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we have families that we can love and that we can associate with and be around? Don't you enjoy being with your family? When God determined that He was going to create man, He saw that it was not good for a man to be alone, and thus He created a companion for the man, and He gave him a woman. And that was God's design in the very beginning of time. And it is still God's design, I might say, that there be a man and a woman in that relationship. Every man is to have his own wife, and every wife is to have her own husband, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And that's a male and a female. And that was for the betterment of mankind. One of the greatest things and the greatest gifts that God has ever given to mankind is the creation of the family. And so civilization owes itself to the family unit and strong families. So God is good. He gives us our families. Think about the freedom that we might enjoy. There may be some of you watching, getting to know your Bible right now, who may not enjoy the freedom that people in other parts of the world enjoy. You may be enduring some persecution at this time. And our prayers are with you in that persecution. But let it be known to even to you that are being persecuted that God is still good. He is good, not some of the time. He's good all of the time. You think about the blessing that we have of the Bible that He's given to us. That's a good, perfect gift. It's a good gift and it is a perfect gift. It's the perfect law of liberty. God's blessed us in so many ways. Just imagine that if God were to withdraw all of His good benefits from us just for 1 minute, how would we be able to live? Well, the truth of the matter is we would not. Our hearts ought to be overflowing with thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. We ought to say with the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." And I might add in there all of His good benefits. God is good, and God gives us good gifts. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus said, "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock, and it shall be open to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that knocketh unto him shall it be open." And Jesus then went on to say, now what man, if he had a son, he were to ask for bread, would he give him a stone? If he were to ask for a fish, would he give him a snake or a serpent? And then Jesus made the point that he was trying to make. If you, being evil, give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good gifts unto them that ask Him? And so God is the giver of good gifts. You see, He gives all good gifts. And especially to those who are His children does He give good gifts. One of those gifts that God gives to those who belong to Him is His constant guidance and protection. I love Romans 8:28, and I have an idea that it's a favorite of many of you. But we know that all things work together for good. to them that love the Lord, to them that are the call according to His purpose. God is good. His works are good. His gifts are good. There's no way for us to list and number all of the good gifts that God has given to us. There's a song that we frequently sing in our services at the Summerdale Church of Christ. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Would you sit down and count your blessings? Oh, God is so good. But then there is the commands of God. And God's commands are good commands. I think some people have the idea that God has given us certain laws and certain commands because He doesn't like us. No, the opposite of that is true. Now, there are some laws that are not good. I'll just have to put that out there. Some laws are not good. The law in the United States about abortion is not a good law. It's not a good law. Absolutely not. I think it's a terrible thing when we allow people under the guise of a law to take the lives of innocent boys and girls. The fact that prayer in our schools, in the Bible in the schools, has been outlawed or eliminated. Even in some places in the public arena, prayer and the Bible has been eliminated. That's not a good law. That's a bad law. But all of God's laws are for our good. Every one of them is a good law. There isn't anything that God has ever commanded that we do that's not for our good. Because God, the source of good, knows what's best for us. When God commanded that we believe on His Son Jesus, He knew that was for our good. He wants us to be believers. And Hebrews 11:6 even tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him, that is God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, that He is a believer of all of them that seek Him. So not only we must believe in God, and the truth is, it's best for us to believe in God. It is good for us to believe in God, because the Bible says those who are unbelievers are foolish people. In Psalms 14:1, the Scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That is, he's denied God. And someone says, well, why would you say that it's not good? Because an unbeliever has no hope of everlasting life. In Revelation 21:8, the Bible says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the liars and all will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So unbelievers will be lost. It's best to be a believer. God knows that's for our good. It's best that we repent of our sins. Someone says, what does it mean to repent of our sins? It's more than saying, I'm sorry. If you were to go to the average penitentiary throughout America and start talking to the inmates, and ask them, are you sorry that you're in here? Every one of them would say they are. But have they repented of the wrong that put them in that penitentiary? Have they really repented of it? And so repentance has to do with a change of mind, a change of heart for the better. Now there's a godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation that brings salvation, 2 Corinthians 7:10. And that's where we have a change of mind, a change of heart. Worldly sorrow, it brings spiritual death to us, according to that same passage. Worldly sorrow is just being sorry. Oh, I'm sorry I got caught. That's not repentance. And repentance is when we change our minds. It's more than changing directions. Repentance has to do with a change of heart. There was a preacher many years ago who would illustrate repentance in a very dramatic way, and he'd walk across the stage in one direction. He'd say, I'm going to hell. Then he'd turn around dramatically and start walking the other direction, saying, I'm going to heaven. And he would say, that's repentance. No, it's not. Repentance occurs when we have the change of mind, the change of heart to turn around and do the right thing and go in the right direction. Going in the right direction is the fruit of one's repentance. And it's best for us. Someone says, well, why is that for our good? God knows that command is for our good. Let me tell you the reason. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you're going to perish. Simply means you're going to be lost. That's for our good. It's in our eternal good to repent of our sins. And it is for our good that we confess Jesus to be the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, whoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. You see how that's for your good? But then on the other hand, Jesus said, those who deny me, those are the ones I'm going to deny before my Father in heaven. So don't you see it's best for you to confess faith in Jesus Christ? And I know this, there's a day coming at the end of time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And it's best for us to do it now. It's for our benefit, our good, to do it now. And the Bible teaches that we're to be baptized. Well, someone says, why should we be baptized? Well, I could say, first of all, because God commanded it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I've heard people say, well, I know it's a command of God, but it's not essential to salvation. Do you mean to tell me that it's not essential for us to go to heaven for us to obey a command of God? If it is essential for us to obey a command of God to go to heaven, well, then baptism is essential to salvation because baptism is a command of God. Our Lord said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, God knows to be baptized is best for us. He knows that's for our good. Well, why is it for our good? It's because when we as a penitent confessing believer are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in water, and we arise up out of thy water, our sins are washed away. Why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22, verse 60. Don't you want your sins washed away? You see, it's for your good to do what God says. Every command that God has ever given is a good command. You think about the command to worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, that's in John 4:24. That's a command of God, isn't it? Well, why is that for our good? Let me tell you one reason. You become like that which you worship. You know, there are a lot of young people that worship these musicians they hear on the radio or they listen to on their telephones and the music they're listening to. They idolize these people. And if you're not careful and listening to some of the lyrics of some of those songs that are not good lyrics, it's going to change your thinking. You're going to become like that which you idolize. Might not be a good thing. But when you worship God and you adore God and you adore His Son Jesus, you're going to become like God. You're to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God knows it's for our good to meet and to worship. Think about love. God commands that we love. We love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We love our neighbor like we love ourselves. Someone says, well, you know, there are just certain people I don't like. There are just certain people I just can't stand to be around them, Brother Lambert. I'm sorry. I just can't stand to be around them. I see them. It's repulsive to me. You know, I read 1 John 3, verse 15 one time. I've read it a lot of times, as a matter of fact. I've used it on getting to know your Bible before. Let me use it one more time. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In 1 John 4:20, the Bible says that whoever says that he loves God and hates his brother is a liar. But he that hates his brother whom he has seen How can he love God whom he's not seen? If there's anything we need in this world today, it's love. God knows that's for our benefit. You see, if our world were permeated with the love that God wants us to have, there'd no longer be any wars. There'd be no hatred. There'd be no violence. There'd be no tension. There'd be no racial tension in our country today if we started loving one another like God says we ought to love one another, regardless of where we're from, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of our economic status, if we just start loving all men. That's what Christianity is all about. It's all about loving people. God sent Jesus into this world to make a scheme of redemption possible because of the love that he has. And those who follow Jesus are to love. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples. You have love one for another." Do we love each other? How would you identify a Christian? We identify a Christian by the way they love, the attitude they have. Yes, God is so good, and God has made every provision that man needs today. Would you not obey Jesus today? Let me urge you to do so. It's for your good. In the closing moments, may I encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your community, and if you're not certain where it's located, get in touch with us and we'll help you find it. Also, pick up your phone and call for the Bible course right now. Or if you prefer, you can take it online. But whatever you do, or however you do it, please study this Bible correspondence course. Now, I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
We want to help you as much as possible in your search for a personal relationship with God. You can now easily access our free Bible correspondence course online at gettingtoknowyourbible.org. If there's any way we can help you grow closer to God, please email us at knowyourbible@golftel.com or call us anytime at 1-877-711-5214. Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.